Barbara Peterson with us. We're talking about genetically modified foods this hour, taking your calls. We'll talk preppers next hour on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, by the way, for those of you looking to comment about topics discussed on the show, we're trying out an alternative to Fast Blast tonight. We'll post a specific hashtag on our Coast to Coast Twitter feed, which you simply can get to by visiting to coasttocoastam.com site or georgenori.com up in the right-hand corner. Tonight, our hashtag is GMO Dangers, and we'll be selecting some of your comments to retweet onto our Twitter feed throughout the show. So go ahead and do that and have some fun and look at the great comments. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Barbara Peterson with us, your phone calls as well here on Coast to Coast AM. Barbara, the Cerellini study, can you tell us about that one? That was the most recent one, right?
Yes. And that was actually a bombshell. That study just got the biotech industry so angry that they immediately shot back with all sorts of things, saying, oh, no, that wasn't done right because we didn't do it. But what the significant part about that was is the Monsanto studies typically run, well, not more than 90 days. Well, the Cerellini study ran more than 90 days because guess what? It takes more than 90 days for the effects to start showing.
That's right.
So if you cut off your studies before the effects start showing, well, then of course you can say it's safe because nothing happened yet. So what happened in the Cerellini study is after 90 days, these rats, they just started growing these massive tumors, and they were just mutated, basically. They died early. It was a mess. And you can't have something like that, you know, out there without Monsanto coming after it hook, line, and sinker and saying, oh, no, that's not right. But it is right. People are starting to understand. Scientists are starting to come out. What happens is the scientists have to ask permission from Monsanto to even use their seeds for testing. And Monsanto is supposed to be able to, what they require in their little 40-page agreement with the seeds, is they have to approve the studies before it goes out. Well, Cerellini said, you know what? No, this is an independent study, and he published it.
Now, didn't they have an increase in mortality rates and everything else like that?
Absolutely. It was females had a 600% increase in death and 94% more tumors. And the
94%.
Tumors. Yeah. The tumors were in the mammary glands.
It seems to affect women more than men. Is that a right assumption?
Yes, it does. Breast cancer? Here we go. Seen a rise in breast cancer lately?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mom had it, but that was highly unusual. And I'm 60 years old. Now, you can't go down the street and not, you know, look at the person next to you and you know that they've either had cancer or somebody in their family has had cancer. Everybody knows several people that have had cancer.
Have there been, Barbara, have there been studies done yet on human beings now that GMO foods have been in the system for some time?
Yes, there has been. They have found there was a reproductive toxicology report done in 2011. So what happens is there's two kinds of genetically modified foods at this point. There's the HT technology and there's the BT technology. The HT is the herbicide resistant. In other words, they make your plant resistant to having Roundup sprayed on it. So you go ahead and spray Roundup, the plant that you want to lives and everything else dies. And then there's the BT where they actually put the insecticide in the plant. So bug bites plant, bug dies.
That's right.
And we eat that. Okay. So they found that the toxin from the genetically modified crops was detected in human and fetal blood samples for the first time.
Okay? Well, we're taking... Go ahead, Barbara. Go ahead.
And this was done in Canada. So 93% of the blood samples of pregnant women had this toxin in it.
Huge.
80% of fetal blood samples had it, and 69% of non-pregnant women blood samples had it.
Let's go to Clearwater, Florida. Frana is with us on Coast to Coast, east of the Rockies. Hi, Frana.
George, I discovered you in 2005 during a hurricane.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you found us. Sorry it was because of a tragedy.
Oh, listen, you have enriched my life because of it, so it was a good hurricane.
All right.
My question for Barbara.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. My question for Barbara, when I started learning about GMOs, examined my canola oil and discovered that both brands that I use have Canada canola oil as their ingredient.
Is that good, Barbara?
Does that make them safer?
No, it doesn't. All we have to do is look at poor Percy Schmeiser, who was a canola farmer in Canada. He got contaminated by Monsanto's seed, and he went through the fight of his life and lost all of his seed stock. So
he's the one the documentary's based on, isn't he?
Yes. Yes. Percy Schmeiser, very famous because he fought. He spent all of his savings. They took all of his seed, all the profits from his crop, everything they took. And he spent it down to his last dime in savings fighting them. And finally, he won a victory, but it was not really a monetary victory. I mean, he was basically, his business was crushed. But he did win a victory on paper. So that's a good thing.
But the answer for Anna's question, though, in Canada, they are using genetically modified seeds?
You betcha. The United States and Canada are completely saturated.
Based on the Seralini study, what did Russia and what did France do?
Oh, well, they said no way, Jose, on GMO. There's been several countries that have now decided, hey, you know, we don't want this. And so they're working on putting up bans, and Russia banned it, said, forget it. That's it. We're done. No GMOs. And there's one little country, and I can't remember the name of it. They said, oh, my goodness, we're going totally organic, which is excellent. So they're starting to wake up, and there has been three counties in California that have actually put up little GMO-free zones, and they've banned GMO cultivation. And that's as far as we've gotten in California, and that's the Mendocino, Trinity, and Marin counties, and they have put a ban on GMOs. San Juan County in Washington just put a ban on GMOs with this last vote. So people are starting to wake up.
Do they use the scarcity of food to convince people that you have to use GMO seeds?
That was the initial PR campaign, and they are sticking by that story. And that's all it was a PR campaign. If you go through the Monsanto documents, you can look through them and understand that that's what they did. They said, oh, this is going to be good. We'll just tell them it's for world hunger. That's wonderful PR. It's going to feed everybody. But with actuality, it's been proven that conventional crops and organic crops produce better and more. So the hype is just what it is. In other words, if you tell a lie often enough and big enough and put enough sugar coating on it, people will believe it, even though they see their crops failing. When you go out and you find super weeds that you can't get rid of and you have to put more and more pesticides on it, and the pesticides are starting to cost you more and more, and then the seed prices go up, and then it's not doing what it says it's going to do because the bugs are developing a resistance. Everything's developing a resistance, and you're losing your crops. And you also have to understand the way glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup, works. Dr. Huber, he was a whistleblower from the USDA, and he said, look, I have found what is happening here, because glyphosate, what it does is it starves the weeds of nutrients. It's a metal chelator. that means that it collects the soft metals and the nutrients, and it keeps the plants
like
from
magnet.
Absorbing them. Yeah.
Just like a magnet. I guess you could use GMO corn for ethanol, huh? Well, you make fuel out of it.
Well, yeah, but what are you going to do with the contamination that you have just by the planting? You've got everything around it contaminated.
That's the problem. Next up, Springville, Utah. Hey, Jeff, you're up with us. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Hi, Barbara. I wanted you to maybe expand a little bit on what you just said about the metal chelator and abiotic stress and anything you may know about the general theme that was in a movie called Why in the World Are They Spraying?, which goes that they spray these aerosol chemtrails to create drought, flood, hail through weather modification, and that results in crop failure for the small farmers, and then large companies swoop in and buy up the farms and plant their GMO foods. And I'd also like to put this out there as a tool for people to introduce their friends and family to these ideas. It's a non-threatening, socially acceptable, politically correct format of some of these ideas in a kid's movie called Rango, R-A-N-G-O. And in this movie, the theme is that the mayor of the town creates a drought in order to buy up the land real cheap. And in this movie, they create artificial scarcity. Water is also currency. And he works with the terrorists. He calls in Jake the Snake in order to terrorize the people into submission. So it might be a little tool for you.
Interesting. Want to comment on some of that, Barbara?
Well, you know what? There's a lot of people doing stuff like that, and I'd like to see that because a lot of things tongue-in-cheek, and I love it because if you're going to wake people up to what's going on, then sometimes you need to, you know, just snap. You know, here's a little humor. Here's, you know, a little catch just to catch their attention so they'll do a little more research. And I'm all for that. I do that with Farm Wars. The metal chelation is something that Roundup, I mean, glyphosate was initially a metal chelator, and they said, oh, well, hey, guess what? It's going to work for this. So what happens is they go ahead and they spray it on. They keep it, so it takes all the minerals, most of them, out of the soil. It takes it out of the plant. The plants die. The weeds die because they can't get any nutrients. They starve to death. Okay? So the plant that you're targeting, which is the weed, dies. But then the plant that you've sprayed, the genetically modified plant, also loses the nutrients because that glyphosate is absorbed into that plant. And it doesn't stop being a metal chelator just because it's absorbed into a plant. It's still a metal chelator, and so it absorbs the nutrients. So what we're getting is we're basically eating the equivalent of cardboard as far as nutrient-wise goes. There's no nutrients left in it. So that's, you know, another health issue other than the glyphosate toxicity and the instability of the genetically modified organism just due to the genetic modification, because that's just unstable of itself.
Barbara, we're going to go out to your neck of the woods in Medford, Oregon. Here's Chuck, first-time caller. Go ahead, Chuck.
Good evening. Want to talk, just back up what Barbara is saying, except she was smarter than I am, and she got off of it before it really got a hold of her. It almost killed me, put me in the hospital. They couldn't find anything wrong. I found out what it was by accident. That's another time for coast to coast. But anyway, it screws up your central nervous system. It plugs up your brain. I thought I was getting Alzheimer's, and I started working on my mind and found out that I got back about three-quarters of it. I'd lost about half, and I got back some of it, not all of it. And the stuff is bad, 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 and I have been waiting. You had an article on it here a while back, and I couldn't get through to you. But I have wanted to shout to the world that that stuff is really horrible. And it has taken me 5 years to get out from under it.
Just to start feeling better again, Chuck. That's a long time. Just to start feeling better again, I bet, huh?
I started feeling better about 3 months after I figured out what it was and cut it out. But it has taken 5 years to get it out of my system. In fact, I just had a spell day before yesterday.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're doing a little better. So do you think it does stay in your system that long, Barbara?
It's a cumulative effect, yes. And the DNA changes most definitely, because the cauliflower mosaic virus is 75 to 85% identical to the HIV and the Hep B viruses, okay? So what happens is, what you're going to have is this DNA is mixing up, the partially, you know, partial DNA is mixing up with other partial DNA in your system, and Lord knows what it's creating in there. So, yes, it stays in your system.
Let's go east. Joan is in St. Louis in my neck of the woods right now. Hey, Joanie, go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
I can't believe I made it on tonight.
You sure did. It's about time.
Yes. I have a question for your guest. My problem with MSG.
Yes.
And I have people that have told me to eat the Amish corn and so forth, that it would be okay. So are the Amish getting pure seeds, or are they doctored up too?
That's a good question. I would assume they're organic, but what do you say, Barbara?
If I was going to trust somebody, it would be the Amish, because the Amish are totally against that type of thing. And I would assume, I would still want to check for sure, because that's me, but I would want to assume that they would be wanting to do the right thing and go to the natural and do the heirloom seeds.
Now, there's no way a store would put organic on a GMO crop, right?
That hesitation. They knew it was GMO. They're trying to do that right now. What they're trying to do is lower the organic standards to include GMO. That's what they want to do. That is the end game.
I see what you mean. So rather than say, hey, it's organic because we don't use pesticides, even if it's a GMO seed, they'd call it organic.
Right, because they have it generally recognized as safe. This is the thing with GMOs. They are generally recognized as safe, which means that they have been around and they're just normal and there's nothing wrong with them and everybody's been using them, so they're okay. Yet they have a patent on them that says they are unique and completely different. So which is it? Are they generally recognized as safe, or are they completely different? We know they're completely different. They have the patent. Monsanto sues everybody for their patent infringement. So when you go and take a fish gene and stick it in a tomato and then call it natural, I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. The only people that are going to buy that kind of stuff are people that are completely ignorant about what they're putting in their mouth. You have to know what you're eating.
What do we get when we go to farmwars.info?
Well, what we get is a lot of my ranting. I've got Aggie, the traveling agrobacterium, on there. If you click on the Aggie link, and if you want to know more about the actual process of genetic modification, go ahead and look at that. It's a 36-slide.
That's well worth watching, Barbara. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've got a split show for you tonight, and we're going to continue with our theme as we talk with preppers next hour on Coast to Coast AM. So stick around for that. And we'll come back in a moment with Barbara Peterson and your final phone calls as we talk about genetically modified foods on Coast to Coast AM. Barbara Peterson with us. Barbara, what's going on in the world of synthetic engineering with biology, nanotechnology, and genetic engineering?
Well, they're all tying it in together. It's there's a new kid on the block named Cynthia, and that is synthetic biology, and Dr. Craig Venter did that, and that is a little bit scary in itself, because it was something that the U.S. government actually has an interest in that patent that he got on that, and he has oil-eating, little synthetic biology.
Sure, like little Pac-Man.
They're trying to make humans, as my opinion is, this is like a transhumanist agenda. If you aren't familiar with transhumanism, I mean, what they're trying to accomplish is what's called a singularity. They want to meld man and machine. Okay, so they're using genetic engineering, they're using synthetic biology, they're using nanotechnology, which is the assembly of organisms, artificial organisms, just basically from scratch, not using anything living. They're using, got a brain on a chip. They want to make your brain tie in with the internet, you know, things like that. What they want to do is they want to take what we have here that is purely natural and is a miracle as far as I'm concerned, since every snowflake is totally different. And now they decided through complete arrogance that they know best and they're going to take man and put him to the next level, which means melding him with machines, making him smarter, changing his DNA so that maybe he'll have blue eyes and blonde hair and maybe bench press 400 pounds if you want to have a soldier that maybe can have eyes that see for a great distance. Then you can just start genetically engineering the humans, add a little part here, a little mechanical piece there, a little, you know, artificial DNA here.
And they will, too.
Yes. Just start constructing your own designer humans.
Let's go to Carl now, Grants Pass, Oregon. Again, real close to you. Hi, Carl. Go ahead.
George, thank you so much for bringing knowledge to us that we would be totally oblivious to, such as the things from the other night. But what I want to relate to you, out of 265 people that I have asked if they know what GMO is, they've said no. And one lady that had a store that was selling organic products, she said, well, it's the same thing. And I told her she had better wake up. But what I wanted to tell you was my wife served me an ear of sweet corn. And in less than an hour, I had to run to the bathroom, and I had tremendous itching. And I thought that was strange. Well, a week later, the same thing. And the third time, we said, something's wrong here. We began to research and found that those were the first two symptoms of eating GMO corn.
Oh, boy. There you go.
And we have eliminated corn from our diet completely.
Good for you. Barbara, what do you recommend? Continue doing what he's doing?
Yes, and go through and just start eliminating the GMOs from your diet. Even doctors, certain doctors that really care about their patients are actually starting to wake up and telling them to eliminate GMOs from their diet because it's causing all kinds of problems. And it's not, the itching is horrible. And you know what? And the thing that amazes me is here I am talking to people that are having the same symptoms I had, and I had no clue at the time what it was, just like everybody else. But we're all finding the same thing, and we didn't talk about it beforehand or anything. No, this is independently. We're coming together and saying, hey, these are my symptoms, and they're all matching.
Should we be concerned about, you know, them using GMO seeds for cotton? I mean, we don't eat the cotton, right?
Well, animals eat the cotton, and Indian cows were dying because they were let loose in a field of BT cotton, and they dropped dead after eating it.
Oh, my.
So they're dying.
Let's go to Carrie in Evington, Virginia. Hi, Carrie. Go ahead.
Hi, Barbara. I have a question. We have heirloom garden, and we were getting great yield. It seems Bugs Ben discovered it, and this year we have got hardly anything. So I was wondering if planting, you know, raised garden with organic soil and then covering with a netting or building a greenhouse would be the better way to avoid this contamination. Because all of our neighbors use Roundup and GMO seeds. I know they do.
Greenhouse. Yeah, you got to cover it. That's what we're going to be doing. Because I have talked to so many people that their gardens failed this year. Literally
greenhouse failed. Is expensive, though, Barbara.
Hmm?
A greenhouse is expensive for people.
Not necessarily. There are ways to do it. And I have, I've got some instructions on my site. I'll go ahead and make them more available. You don't necessarily have to pay a lot for a greenhouse. There's ways to make them. You can make hoop houses. Okay, using PVC, you know, your the stuff that you scraps, wood that you put around and make your little bed, and then take your clamps and put your PVC and loop it, and then put your cover over that. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can go as fancy as you want, and you can go as easy as you want. You don't have to have it huge. You can have smaller beds. Just get it covered with that clear covering and keep the garbage off of it.
Let's go to Yellow Springs, Ohio. Marshall's with us. Marshall, good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I'm kind of a bottom line type person. So basically what it sounds like is that there's plenty of evidence that GMOs and what Monsanto is doing is bad. So why not just put together a major class action lawsuit against Monsanto? It doesn't matter whether or not the FDA says they're safe or not. If it's been proven that they've caused people injury, then they can be sued. So what is there anyone trying to do that?
I don't know of any class action lawsuits, but individual farmers that have been harmed by Monsanto are starting to sue. But Monsanto has such deep pockets that if they can spend over $7 million just to fight GMO labeling in California, they can pay off just about anybody. This is what they did.
You've got to have that law firm, that big law firm that's willing to take its own capital on at risk and fight this. You know, then they would go out and get some of the, you know, members of the class and file the suit. But absence that law firm, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Catherine is in Columbia, New York, and now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you very much for keeping the focus on this horrifying topic. I'm glad you touched on, you know, the fact that there's obviously a bigger picture, you know, in something behind Monsanto, you know, controlling this whole agenda, because we're seeing it, you know, be so insidious. You know, creeping into our lives, this, you know, food, taking over our food agenda. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on this. When I look at the situation that happened in India with the allegation that all those, I mean, it was hundreds of thousands of farmers, they were alleging, committed suicide, and they said they basically all did it in the same way, which was to drink pesticide or something, which is a horrifying death. And I just don't believe that. I think more along the terms of maybe corporations sending out local mafias to poison these farmers and teach them all a lesson, you know, or, you know, stealing their land, you know, for their consolidation. And, you know, regarding the humanist agenda, I think it's more of degradation of the general populace. And, you know, I'm sure they have, you know, an agenda to enhance, you know, their own army. But, you know, this is obviously, you know, some sort of, you know, bigger than Monsanto agenda to, you know, degrade the human population in so many insidious ways. I was wondering if you had, you know, any evidence or thoughts, you know, on that.
Well, I watched that movie, and I had mentioned earlier, Bitter Seeds, and that was actually filmed in India by, you know, the people there. And they were documenting particular suicide by drinking the Roundup. And the thing is, the desperation becomes clear because these people have nothing, and all that they had was taken away. And they have a different system of honor in India than we do here. There, when you lose everything, then you are disgraced, you are shamed, and that's it. And that's how they dealt with it. In my opinion, Monsanto wouldn't have to go in and send in a hit squad. All they have to do is wait for the crops to do their work, and people are going to die anyway.
That's
and
good.
They can make money off it.
Well, they can make a lot of money off that.
Yeah.
They sure can. What percent of foods do you think are GMOs?
Approximately 85% of the food on our store shelves contains GMO.
Dramatic.
And that's probably conservative.
That's dramatic. Lori is truck driving in Arkansas, I believe. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you.
Sure thing.
Barbara, do you think GMO is in baby food?
Oh,
and baby.
Of course it is. Every soy formula that you get is GMO. So we're feeding our babies. Not only are we giving them genetically modified hepatitis B shots, then we're filling them with genetically modified soy baby formula. They don't stand a chance.
If we buy, you know, like frozen corn, which I'm going to buy for Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact, will that be GMO?
Well, good luck with that, most likely.
How will I know?
You won't till you start itching.
Oh, great. Everybody who's invited over for Thanksgiving will be itching.
Maybe. It depends on your system. It depends on your own immune system, your own way you're going to react. Each person has a different, you know, reactions. Maybe some won't have an itching reaction, but there might be that person that will. And, you know, that's, we don't have it labeled. There is no way to know unless you do the research, unless you know. And I don't trust any corn. I have eliminated corn from my diet. I won't eat it.
That's just great. I'll be doing the live broadcast Thanksgiving night itching, right? That's all I need, Barbara.
It's a possibility.
I mean, is the itching so bad you're like tearing away at your flesh?
Yes. I was bleeding. It was so bad. I was just laying there in bed crying.
Wow.
And, yeah, I couldn't sleep. I literally did not sleep. I couldn't do it. The only time I ever got any sleep was when I literally passed out from exhaustion.
Let's go to Mark now, truck driving in Missouri. Hey, Mark, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Morning, George. Morning, Barbara.
Morning.
Morning.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh, okay. My question, well, you asked about the seeds, and I was always curious about that, but what about the fruit trees? Can you still buy fruit trees that aren't modified?
Good question. Where are we with that, with fruit trees?
They're working on the trees. They've got eucalyptus trees going now. They are working on the trees, and that is actually worse than the crops because the trees are not a yearly thing. The trees last for years. But what they're doing is they're genetically modifying the trees for wood at this point, so they're not doing the fruit trees yet. But they're working on it. It's coming. They've got the patent.
Are the trees growing faster? For example,
they're going to do things like with the orange trees when we had that. I can't remember what it was, a particular orange blight, and they were going to come in with a genetically modified orange. So they're working on that to keep it from getting that particular blight. So they do types of stresses, and what the big thing is the abiotic stress, which includes drought, tolerance to floods, metal tolerance and things like that. So that's what they're going to be that's what they are working on with the fruit and the trees at this point, along with the wood, making the trees easier to cut down, which is going to make them weaker, which means they're going to be falling over and things like that. But they're working on it, and they're going to be starting to introduce it slowly but surely.
Well, let's go
right
to Jan. Okay, Brooklyn, New York. Go ahead, Jan.
Hi. That was the most horrible thing they've ever heard. The idea that they want to make GMO considered organic. I mean, those people are really sick. And I thank you so much, Barbara, for what you're doing. And also, with the cotton, if I go and get Indian cotton, just holding it, most of the cotton there itches me. And I can't go into an Indian cotton store. I feel horrible in there. And I'm wondering, do you know anything about, like, in India, Are they making any lawsuits, like with the farmers who died or families, or are they, how are they fighting it in India?
They're trying to get them GMOs blocked. There really are. There is, the government is working against the people, and there's a lot of corruption going on. And Monsanto is in there just pushing and pushing and pushing. So the people are trying to get it blocked in India. At this point, cotton is supposed to be, it's touted as wonderful. You know, oh, you're supposed to get cotton, cotton, cotton. Yeah, well, that's great. Except now the cotton is genetically modified, and now it's not good. It's making the farmers itch uncontrollably that are working in the cotton fields. So what does that do for the products that we're getting? If you have a sensitivity, what's going to happen? You know, it's in the cotton. It's in the clothing. It's all over. So my real concern is, are we going to be able to put a stop to this before the entire planet is contaminated and we are all itching like crazy or having some sort of a reaction?
Well, once all the seeds are gone, we're up a creek, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And then comes the Terminator. Okay, people say, oh, the Terminator is already here. No, the Terminator seed is not already here.
And explain the Terminator seed.
The Terminator is where the seed cannot, it grows a plant, but the plant does not have viable seeds. The plant seeds are sterile. They cannot be planted again to grow anything else. So you have a sterile plant.
They just die after they do what they do.
Yep, that's it. So you have to, after the contamination occurs, and all the seeds are genetically modified, we've got all this contamination, then they will introduce the Terminator. And I will make this prediction because they're already saying on the website that I go to, gmocompass.org, and they're already saying they're touting the Terminator as a solution to the genetic contamination. But what that means is then you won't even be able to save a genetically modified seed and replant it. You will have to buy seeds from Monsanto because nothing's going to grow.
Unbelievable stuff. Barbara, thanks for being on the program. Barbara Peterson, this is a split show. Her website, farmwars.info. Now, when we come back in just a moment, we're going to continue with this theme, as I mentioned, with growing your own food, as we talk with doomsday preppers in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back.